really excited because today I've got a friend that's come along to join me on the podcast. Do you want to say something about yourself?
Hi, I am a special needs teacher and I've been teaching for about 4 years now. So I thought I'd come and help my friend with her new podcast.
Yep, I'm excited because I've been talking to other teachers, and a lot of inexperienced teachers have said they're really struggling to use the best asset that they've got, which is their TAs. And I thought maybe we could together just discuss the best way of using our best resource, which is the humans in our classroom, the teaching assistants. So what should we start with?
Should we start with how I got into teaching?
Oh, yeah.
And get a bit of a backstory.
Do. Yeah.
So I originally got into special needs teaching through my friend on this lovely podcast, who invited me to her school. God, it must be like 10 years ago now, something silly. When I was in high school, to go and do some work experience because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I went in and took part in their performing arts week, doing a show production. I think it might have been Lion King was the first one that we did. And immediately I just thought, yep, this is what I want to do. I'm really enjoying it. And I could see myself being a teacher or a teaching assistant in this profession. So at any chance that I could, I was going in volunteering in the school whilst I was in high school. And then when I was like finished high school, I went and did a degree and came back and was a teaching assistant for a couple of years so I could get some experience. Fast forward 3 years later, I decided to do my PGCE and now I've been teaching for 4 years. So that's just a very brief overview history of my career and how I got into special needs.
And you know, I knew that first day when you came that you loved it. I could see the excitement. And I think it's true to say it can be a culture shock going into a special needs school.
Oh, it's mad. You see things that you never would have dreamt of. The fun chaos that happens in a special needs school.
Yeah. And it is the fun, isn't it? And it is the chaos, and it's very unpredictable, and no 2 days are the same. And I've found throughout my whole time teaching, I've invited lots of friends and friends' children to come in and do work experience or come and volunteer. And you know, straight away, they're either going to love it or they're like, no thanks, this isn't for me. So I was very pleased that you loved it. And actually, that must have been when you were 14.
Yeah, 14
such
or 15.
A long time ago. And I just want to say you were a terrific TA.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, I know the teacher that you worked with absolutely loved working with you. And when you were in lessons with me where we had like 3 or 4 classes together, I could always rely on you to totally understand what was needed and to step in and be a good sport. I'm thinking particularly of performing arts lessons where I needed a partner. So sometimes you can just click with TAs and there's understanding. You just need to be able to give them a look and you both know what's needed. And other times it just doesn't work. Mm. So I thought maybe we could talk about from a TA's perspective and from a teacher's perspective, what's particularly helpful. So as a TA, what are you looking for from a teacher?
I think having a clear role and understanding what you want from us as a teaching assistant, I want to know what's expected of me and I want to know what the goal is for the lesson, what you want the students to achieve, and how you want me to sort of acts and interacts with the kids. Basically, as much direction as possible is definitely what I found useful. And when I was just sort of sat there questioning what was going on and what I wanted from, or what you wanted from me, was when I had no direction and no instruction. Because I think until you have those connections and those relationships with your teacher, it's really hard to know what to do.
Yeah.
That definitely takes time. And it's amazing when you get that relationship and you can just communicate through a gesture or an eye contact glance. But until you've got that, it's really hard to know what to do. Yeah.
I think the relationship is the all important thing, isn't it? And I think the longer you've been a teacher, especially if you've been in the same school, more and more teaching assistants know you and they know what to expect. And you have a clear understanding of your own role. I think one of the problems for new teachers is they teach you how to teach on teacher's training. And your teacher's training placements, you're super supported by your mentor and TAs that, you know, know what they're supposed to be doing. And you get, I suppose you get in a sort of feeling that you've got this sorted. And then you go into a classroom and you've got people you've never met before, children you've never met before, and you're still learning how to teach all on your own without the support of a teacher. And what hasn't happened is you haven't been given any clues how to manage people. And in a special needs setting, I think half of the job, or maybe more than half
I was just about to say more than half the job,
is managing your team. Yeah. And that's not the full multidisciplinary team, because there are lots of other... Crikey, there's another podcast right there, isn't there? Because you have to also work with physiotherapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists, a whole host of people that you're suddenly having to work with. And in the case of TAs, manage, and yet you've had no training on being a manager. So maybe that's, you know, that's what a problem is. And maybe if you're doing special needs teachers training, that should be a big chunk of what you learn to do. And I think I was very lucky, because by the time I started teaching in a special needs school, I'd already been teaching for 7 years in a mainstream. So I felt confident in myself as a teacher. I knew how to teach. Yes, the setting was completely different, but I was confident in myself. But I think if you're a new teacher and you're still learning your trade and developing your teaching persona, to be faced suddenly with a lot of new adults and new students, it's so much for your brain to take on board.
I can think back to when you were talking then, it was making me think of one of my first lesson observations. And I thought, in my first year of teaching, I was like, oh, I've got so many years of being a TA under my belt. I know what I'm doing. And I felt like when I was in the classroom, I had great management of my TAs and of my class. But it wasn't until I had my actual official lesson observation, when the really experienced TA that essentially, I guess in a way, was sort of leading the class, took a step back and did her actual role of just helping support me, that I realised, oh, I'm not actually directing them the way that I thought I was. I wasn't giving them the instruction. I wasn't even 100% clear on what I actually wanted from them. So it was a really shocking lesson observation feedback that I got. But had I not had that experience, and the TA actually stepped back and be like, I'm just going to do literally what's in my job description. Yeah. I wouldn't have had that sort of eye-opening experience of, right, this is what I need to do next time. So I was very grateful that TA helped me out and did more than she needed to when I wasn't having my lesson observation, because that gave me the foundations to know what I needed and what I wanted. But I was also glad that she sort of let me trip up in my lesson observation and make an absolute mock of myself, because I knew then where I needed to grow.
Don't you find you learn from your mistakes as well? Yeah. And you know, a good TA like that is worth a weight in gold. I mean, a TA who is in tune with you, who understands what you're doing, who can get in and give the right level of support to a student, it's just worth a weight in gold. And I'm sure what she was doing was making sure she was doing her job, and her role is to support you. But her role as a TA is very different from a lead TA in the room. So, I mean, learning from that, we have to, I think, really know our TAs, really know what level of experience they've got, and get to know them on a personal level, because we can't possibly manage people that we don't know and we don't know what their experience is. So I think it's really important, if you can, to find some time in the day when the children aren't there, where you can just sit down as a team and say, what went well today? What could we do better? Or, oh, that was a total disaster. Any ideas? And I think often we don't get that opportunity, partly because, in my experience, if the TAs are paid till 3:30, then they're perfectly entitled to go home at 3:30. They're not paid enough money to stay behind and have a little chat for an hour, are they? So we almost need to build into our day a what went well.
How a little debrief time of it? What's gone on?
A little debrief. And if you haven't got it, if the school aren't paying for the TAs to stay behind after the children have gone, then you have to really get inventive and think, how can I talk to so and so? It's great if it's built in, and if you can engineer it so that you get a little time, like maybe take your break with one of the TAs and just chat to them in the break. Or if you know one of the TAs gets in early, make some great coffee and have a croissant and talk to them then. I think that time to communicate with TAs is massively important. And the better the communication, the smoother the whole thing will go. In terms of...
I just want to touch there. It makes them feel valued as well, that you are having that conversation with them and that you want that input from them. Because I think sometimes we can just sort of, I don't want to say dismiss, but you very much play your roles. If I'm the teacher, what I say goes, and you're the TA, and this is what I want you to do. And I think until, when you have moments like that, it's horrible. But it's, if you can create more of a, I want to say like a family vibe, where it is very much sort of equal, a team, that's the word, you can get so much more from
everybody.
I think
some real leadership skills are needed when you're managing a team, and one of the best tools I found was sharing my vision with them. And you can do that in front of the children, can't you? You can say, look, this is what I want to see at the end of this term. I want them to be able to take home a beautifully decorated Christmas tree in their own style, or a beautiful baked cake, or share your vision of what you want. And then you can talk through how you want to get there. So one of the best projects I did with the TA who had told me that she loved baking was making Christmas cakes. And we had the best time. It took us weeks to make the Christmas cakes. I'm not sure how they tasted at the end, but they looked fantastic. And I had a class of a very, very varied. The students had all different abilities, but every single one of them loved making those cakes. Some of them liked rolling out the icing, some liked cracking the eggs, some liked measuring the ingredients. But they all loved it, and the parents loved it as well. And this it really boosted the confidence of that TA, because it was her idea, and we did it as a bake-off each week. And I think that's a really great way of finding your TA's strengths is, you know, well, what do you like doing? I had another TA who absolutely loved swimming. She was brilliant in the hydro pool. It was just perfect. I think you have to find your TA's talents or interest, and they all have them. Mm. And they're completely, sometimes the things that they love doing that you'd never in a million years have thought of. Yeah. And if you can then make that as part of your planning, and if it can become a project, it's just amazing. Mm. I always find they give so much more and are so much more enthusiastic when they've bought into the idea. So I think a key leadership rather than management thing is to share your vision.
Yeah, I do think that's really important.
Yeah, and it might be just the vision for that lesson. I mean, I can remember going in one lunchtime, the kids had been running around, they were wild, there was lots of wind, and they came in and they were all over the classroom. And I just turned, I only had one TA, I should have had three. And I just turned around to her, said to her, my vision for this lesson is to get them all asleep. And she laughed at me, and I went, honestly, we need to cover them up with blankets and get them to calm down. And she thought that was really funny and disappeared into the stock cupboard and by magic reappeared with enough blankets, one for each kid. And we had the best relaxation session. And after that, every time they had a wild lunchtime, I would just say to her, get the blankets. And that's all I had to say. And she knew and I knew and the kids would calm down and then they'd be in the right place for learning. And we got through that very tricky half hour where there was just two of us instead of four of us. I think there's a lot. You need TAs to be able to react to the situation you're in, don't you? Because sometimes it's all ideal. You've got all your TAs, your kids are in a great mood, the computer's working, the sun's shining, and it's great. But there are other days where you just don't stand a chance. Now, you told me when you came tonight, I'd had a terrible day, and I never found out what the terrible day was.
I've just got some very tricky students in my class who are struggling with managing their emotions.
Yeah.
And it's hard. And it's also hard in the heat of the moment thinking about how you want to direct your teaching assistants and what you want from them. Yeah. And I think that is one of the issues that I'm currently having is I know what I want from my student, which is to help regulate his behaviour. But it's how to get him to do that and what I want from my TAs. And delegating them all in the midst
really,
of him.
Really, really tricky.
Yeah, it is.
So I think that's a whole other podcast. Yeah. And it's called, it's called Behaviour Management.
Yeah.
And it's about sharing and having a behaviour management plan in place and knowing the roles of each person. Because we're not all of us are built the same. Some people are very slight. Some might have a physical problem that would make it really difficult if necessary for them to get between a student that was becoming violent and to try and get that student out of the room. Mm. You know, it's really tricky and it requires excellent teamwork, and it'll come back to having already got a plan in place and sharing that plan. Yeah. A lot of stuff needs to be discussed before the children even get in the room. And usually what happens is you have 2 days in September and you've got to set up your classroom, sort out everything in the classroom. I've arrived in September to find no desks and no chairs. But you're supposed to be also getting to know your TAs, working out if any of the children have a peanut allergy, because we really don't want to find that out when peanuts have been eaten. you know, it's just so much stuff. I mean, we need to have a podcast on the first day, don't we? Because that's a whole new ball game.
Yeah.
But to just sort of, we've been talking for 19 minutes. Can you believe that? I can believe it. To pull it back, so working with TAs, we have to realise as teachers that we may not have the leadership and management skills in place. Mm. So I think we have to say to ourselves, how can I make myself a better leader, better teacher? How can I be more inspiring? So maybe we need to go off and just do a bit of reading or watch a few. There's loads of stuff out there on that. Talk to other teachers. If you have a TA that's very experienced, talk to them. Say, look, I'm really struggling. I don't know how to manage this the best way. Keep the communication going there. But always have a really positive attitude as well. Even if you're fuming with a TA or irritated with the situation you're in or covered in poo, you still need to be that positive leader in the room. And it's so hard to do. It's a tough, tough job because you're trying to teach children, manage people, ever-changing situation. And you and I both know that if we've got a full team there and the children are all well, things can be fantastic. And you're like, this is the best job in the world. And we both know that if a teaching assistant is off or someone gets injured or a child has a crisis, all the best laid plans go out the window. So I think in terms of managing TAs, my big thing would be build a relationship with them, find out their strengths, improve your own management skills. Ask if you can go on a management course. They are there for teachers, but they're designed for teachers to manage other teachers.
Yeah, yeah.
I did the leading from the middle or something. It was great. Really enjoyed it. I did it with another teacher. We had a whale of time. Did it tell us how to manage TAs?
No.
I think it's been great talking to you. And I think there's so much. I think we should finish the podcast so that people can listen to them in a short space of time. And I've been trying to finish my podcast where it's just been me with a funny little story. So I believe you've got a funny little story about a TA at Christmas.
I do. So in one of my first years of teaching, one of my students came with a singular present and said, this is for, I can't remember what they didn't say teacher and they didn't say teaching assistant. They must have said like a member of staff or something. Yeah. And, because it was one present, I just sort of automatically assumed that it was for the teacher.
Yeah.
And the TA who took it off the parent assumed it was for her. And she said, oh, it's for me. I'm the most like special person in his life because I take him to and from the door to meet his mum. It must mean it's me. And I remember just being like, oh, I'm sure. I don't understand why it would just be a one present.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be for the teacher. And if it was, I just assumed that it would be something that we would all share together. And she took the present away, and I remember being outraged, being like, "Oh, I feel like that was mine, and I've been robbed of my present." It was very awkward, and to this day, I still have no idea what the present one was. It was all very secretive, so I don't know. But I was robbed of my first ever Christmas present off a student. And I didn't get one.
It was probably something to share between everybody.
I think it probably was.
I found, aren't the parents so kind and generous? So many beautiful presents. But very often they were neatly labelled with individual names. Or it was like a huge bag with lovely things like chocolates and coffee and things that you could share. Oh gosh, that was very an awkward funny situation. You had to let it go, didn't you?
I had to let that one slide. I did push to try and find out what the present was, but I never got anywhere.
Mind. So lesson learnt there is,
go to the door and pick up the kids.
Oh look, it's been fab. Definitely, we'll have to do some more podcasts.
Yeah.
We didn't even get under the surface there.
We might have to do a couple on different TA topics.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think so. Yeah. Because all we've done is natter in general. Yeah. Not awfully useful. Anyway, thank you so much. And to people who are listening, I hope you have a good day. I hope you don't have any disastrous TA stories today. And let's try and remember those TAs. We can't do our job without them.
Definitely can't.
The sooner we can manage them. In fact, the sooner you can work with a team without anyone having to be too directive, as soon as everyone knows what you want, the better. But all those things take time, don't they? But anyway, that's it for today, and we'll soon be doing another podcast together. Thank you for listening.